I have a bit of a confession to make.
Uh-oh. It's not that time of year.
No. So my confession is just that every year when we get up to Parshas Tzav, I say to myself, what am I going to talk about? Because on the surface, it's a very dry Parsha. A Parsha that's not particularly well understood, certainly by the masses. And I have a bit of anxiety. I have a little bit of Parsha anxiety. What am I going to say? But my confession is that every year, I don't give enough credit to the infinite wisdom of the Torah and of the Mefarshei HaTorah, because there's such depth to the Parsha. So it is not dry at all, as you'll see what I mean in just a moment. So the Torah tells us in Torah number 1, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Tzav es Aaron ves banav Lemor, command Aaron and his children, saying, Zos Torah Sa'ola, these are the laws of the Korban Ola, Ki Ha'ola Al Mokta Al Mizbeach Kol Laila Raboker, it's the Ola which is burning on the Mizbeach from evening until morning, Ve'esh HaMizbeach Tukad Bo, and the fire of the Mizbeach needs to remain burning. So before we go on and discuss one phrase which will repeat itself a number of times, let's first look at the Or HaChaim in source number 2. We've mentioned on a number of different occasions that tradition has it, if you learn Or HaChaim, you're blessed for the week. So we've got our Or HaChaim. So the Or HaChaim notices that there's one word that's extra in Pasuk Beis. Tzav es Aaron ves banav lemor, saying, why do we need that word? The Torah would have read just as crisply had we not had the word Tzav es Aaron ves banav, zos Torah sa'ola. What does the word lemor mean? Ah, you'll tell me it means command to the future generations. We already have that with the word Tzav. So look at Or HaChaim in source number 2. Ein yadua lemi yomru. Who is the word lemor speaking to? V'in ledoros, you'll tell me that the word is teaching us that these mitzvot should be commanded for future generations. Harei davar ze nishma me'omro tzav. Kimoshe kasav nu besamach. We already know that from the word tzav. Command means teach Aaron and his children, and also make sure that it's perpetuated for future generations. V'im lomar liyisrael kidei sheyachinu ha'ola umachshireha v'etzei ha'maracha. If you'll tell me that the word lemor is referring to the Jewish people, you have to tell the Jewish people how to prepare their korbanola, how to prepare their korbanos, how to prepare the trees rather, so on and so forth. So the Or HaChaim points out, Harei Amar Vayidaber Hashem Lemor, already in Pasuk Aleph, we have the concept, give over this information to the Jewish people. So we've got Aaron and his children covered by the word Tzav, and we have everybody else covered in the first Pasuk, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Lemor means, say to the Jewish people. So what do we need the second Lemor for? Ve'ulai, suggests the Or HaChaim, Kitziva Alav Sheyomar Le'aron Drashos Harimuzos B'michtav Ha'elokim. What does that mean? What's a drasha? So I'm not talking about a Shabbos morning drasha. A drasha here means the depth, right? There's so much to the Torah that's not explicit. There are many, many layers you have to uncover, one layer at a time. So suggests the Or HaChaim, perhaps Hashem is telling Moshe, even though this stuff seems very technical, there are layers upon layers upon layers. And Moshe, I want you to give Aaron all of the layers, v'hadikdukim, and all of the subtleties, asher yichavim lahem hakasav, that the Torah is referring to, maybe not expressly and explicitly, but implicitly. Ki hapasuk hu kichazon hasasum. What does that mean? Ki hapasuk hu kichazon hasasum. So sometimes we know that prophecies start with the word chazon. Chazon Yishayahu. Chazon means a prophecy, a vision. So the Or HaChaim writes that all of Torah is like a closed vision. There's prophecy, there's depth, there are multiple layers, but it's closed. You have to know how to break it down, how to understand it. Umash etimsa shedarshu abosinazal eino elo lafi mashekadam Elohim mehilchos shenemru lemoshe v'sinai. The fact that rabbis can expound upon the parsha, and it's not just referring to parsha Tzav, although that's obviously where our focus is this morning. The fact that we can expound upon the written word is all because Hashem gave over everything to Moshe at our Sinai. V'osam siv Hashem lemor la'aron, and that depth Hashem is now telling Moshe to give over to Aaron, because Aaron and his children are going to be the ones particularly involved in the Mishkan and subsequently in the Beis HaMikdash. So this just reinforces what I started with. We sometimes think Parsha Sav is a very technical Parsha. When I'm preparing the Parsha Shir, I get a bit of angst. What am I going to talk about? But you see from the very first Or HaChaim that I'm sharing with you this morning that there's so much dimension and depth to the Torah, you have to know where to look. And that's what Moshe was commanded to give to Aaron, every dimension and all the depth as much as possible. Very good. So just start with Or HaChaim to reinforce what I said earlier. You just have to know where to look.
Can I just, please. Is this the place also that we learn from here that we cannot really know everything from the Torah without Torah Sheba'al Peh?
Definitely part of it. Yeah, but Torah Sheba'al Peh is critical to understanding Torah Shebichsav, because Torah Shebichsav is a chazon sasum. It's a closed vision. It's a vision. It's there, but it's not easily understood. You need the Torah Shebaal Peh to complement the Torah Shebichsav. Yes.
It contradicts the drash that Moshe came later and saw what the Rabbi Akiva made.
Okay, that's true. That's a fair point. So let's move on now and look at a phrase which repeats itself three times in the first six psukim. It's hopefully not hard to identify if you're looking at the source sheets, because I have bolded the phrase. So going back, we already read Pasuk Beis. We know that the Torah tells us at the end of Pasuk Beis, Ve'esh ha-mizbeach tu kadbo. And the art school, which I just have in front of me over here, says, and the fire of the altar should be kept aflame on it. So there needs to be a fire on the mizbeach all night long. You jump down to Pasuk K. Same context of the korbanola. The Torah says, "Va'esh ha-mizbeach tu kadbo lo sichbeh," that the fire on the mizbeach, which is burning, cannot be extinguished. And again, pasuk vav, "Esh tamid tu kadam mizbeach lo tichbeh." There is a continuous fire in the mizbeach that's not extinguished. By the way, this is the reason why in all shuls we have a ner tamid. Exactly, because the Torah says that the fire in the mizbeach is continuous. So in our Batei Knesiot, which are a Mikdash Ma'at, it's a miniature version of the Beis HaMikdash, so we try to implement that on some level as well. I felt a little silly once because I was turning off all the lights in the shul and I saw there's a light in front of the Aron, so I turned to my Matzke and said, "Where's the switch for that one?" He said, "Rabbi Goldberg, that one doesn't go off." I was new then. Okay.
He said, "In Shemayim."
So what are we to make of this phrase which repeats itself three times? I get the point. The fire has to stay on the Mizbeach, a continuous fire on the Mizbeach, burning all the time. Why does the Torah need to repeat itself three different times? So here's another example of the depth of the Torah. So the Abaye Benel in source number 3 tells us that if we want to understand why the Torah repeats the commandment to have the fire on the Mizbeach three times, we have to think of a Gemara Maseches Brachos. We know, just a word of introduction, that the Gemara tells us that our tefillos, Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv, are based on two different, or could be based on, two different forms of precedence. One opinion says it's based on our Avos. Avram introduced Shachris, Yitzchak introduced Mincha, Yaakov introduced Mariv. Alternatively, some want to suggest that our tefillos actually parallel and are precedented on what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. There was the Korban Tamid that was offered in the morning. That's our Shachris. There was the Korban Tamid, which was offered in the afternoon. That's our Mincha. And they burned the fats and the limbs of those Korbanos all night long. And that's our Mariv.
But couldn't it be too also that what we did in the Beit HaMikdash came from, Avraham?
Interesting. It seems from the Gemara that there are two different ideas.
Oh, okay.
Hashem's commandment about the Korban Tamid was not based on what Avram Yitzchak did, although it's an interesting idea. Parenthetically, you know, the Korban Tamid Shal Shachar and the Korban Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim, they were the bookends. There was no Korban that was brought before the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. There was nothing brought after the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So they were actually the two bookends of Korbanos in the Mishkan, subsequently the Beis HaMikdash. Everything else was in between. Good.
So the Arvit would have burned until the morning.
Right.
So it must have been a bigger...
Well, I was speaking in generalizations. The truth is, what was burning all night long wasn't just the korban tamid shabin arbayim. It was also all the other fats and limbs of the mizbe'ah, the korbanos that were brought during the day that didn't have the time to fully be consumed by the fire during the day. They would save that until the evening time. So the Rabbi Benel says as follows in source number 3. The Meseches Brachos Perek Tfilas HaShachar, in the Gemara Brachos, the fourth Perek, which is called Tfilas HaShachar, Amru, we say, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi posits, Tfilos Kineget Tnidin Tiknum, that our Tfilos correspond to the Korban Tamids that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Va'amar Zeh, the reason Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says this is because lifi sheyesh beparsha zu remez letfilos arvis v'letfilos shachris v'letfilos mincha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who is the author of the opinion, who says that our tfilos parallel the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, he was basing his opinion on our psukim right here in the beginning of Parshas Tzav. Kihine be'omro, because the Torah tells us in three different times, ki ha'ola al mokdal mezbeach kol laila boker, the fire burns from evening until morning. That's a remez letfilas arvis. That's a hint to the prayer of Mariv. Uva omro uvi'ir aleh ha'kohen. Ba boker, that the Kohen lights the fire in the morning. Remez letfilas shachris. So we have one pasuk which talks about the fire burning called halayla, all evening until morning. That's an allusion to Mariv. The pasuk which talks about the fire in the morning, ba boker, that's an allusion to tfilas shachris. Uva omro miyara charzeh, Zos Toras HaMincha HaKrev Osa. So the very next pasuk in the Torah, which I didn't include the Marma Komos, Zos Toras HaMincha, these are the laws of Mincha, which come right after pasuk Vav. Right, pasuk Vav says Eish Tami Tukam Zeich Lo Techbe, and the very next pasuk is Zos Toras HaMincha, these are the laws of Mincha, Remez Tfilas Mincha. It's a hint to Tfilas Mincha. So the three different times the Torah, talks about lighting the fire on the Mizbeach, or the fire being lit on the Mizbeach, is a reference to the three different tfilos that we now have, Shachris, Mincha, Mariv. Nice idea, explains the three-peat of this concept. We'll see the Kliyakar deepens the idea a little bit more. But as I was struck by the Barvanel in his comments over here, I also brought in the continuation, which veers us off a little bit, but very interesting. He quotes in the Kuzari. He says as follows: because of Bal Sefer HaKuzar, Vizelashono, the Sefer HaKuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Levi writes, V'haya Peri Yomo V'Lailo HaShalosh Itos Shel Tfila. The fruit, what sustains us during the day and the night, are our times of prayer. Upri HaShavua Yom HaShabbos. And the fruit, the food which sustains us on a weekly basis, that is Shabbos. Mipneshu ma'amad lihidabek be'inyan ha'eloki uva'avodaso besimcha kasher yispire. So says the Kuzari, the fruits which allude to the tefillah, which sustain us, they sustain us because there are times set aside to connect with Hashem. Now these are powerful words of the Kuzari which I'm about to read. V'haseder hazeh mehanefesh, the routine of our soul that we daven three times a day, hu kiseder hamazon mehaguf. It parallels the way we feed our physical body. So our daily spiritual routine parallels our daily physical routine. We daven for our souls and we nourish our body. Hasmadas is consistency. Right? What it means over here is that the tefillah helps us, sustains us, ad eis hatfilah hacheres, until the next time for prayer arrives. Ki hasmades koach seudas hayom as sheyisod balayla. What does that mean? Just like our lunch sustains us until dinner time. Right? We can appreciate this on a physical level. We eat, the food nourishes our body, gives us the energy that we need, and when it wears off, we're hungry again. Right? So says that Rabbi, no, we need, and really the Kuzari, that we need to feel that same level when it comes to our spiritual needs. That we daven shachris, and that sustains us until we're hungry again. We need Hashem again, we need to connect again. Ah, mincha. And mincha sustains us on a spiritual level until we need to daven again. That's Mariv. And keep on going. That's the end of the Kuzari. Look at that, and I'll take questions in just a moment. The Abarbanel now gives us a bit more insight into the language of the Kuzari. V'ratza be'amro misamedes alav. What does the Kuzari mean when there's like this consistency, or it sustains us? Berchas ha'tfila achas at is tfila acheres. What does the Kuzari mean that the tfila sustains us from one time to the next? Shetehe avas Hashem b'davkuso ha'mischadeshes bo b'tfila. That the closeness that we feel to Hashem, that's renewed every time we pray, nimshecha ad eis tefila acheres, has to continue until the next time for a prayer. V'chei mitzvila litzvila, from one prayer to the next, ad shetehei ahavas Hashem tamidav kabo, until we reach this point where we're consistently sustained by our prayers. Shachris leads into mincha, mincha leads into marv. People who are exacting with their eating, plan it so that they're hungry just as the next meal arrives. I don't hold to that. Not as planned. I snack as much as possible to sustain me. But that's what the Abarbanel is saying. V'hine ha'ava nimshelas ka'ish, and the Abarbanel just deepens the idea by telling us that love is compared, or fire is a parable for love. Right, a person has a burning passion, a burning inside. So that's the same way we have to feel about our relationship with Hashem. And that's why the psukim, which talk about the fire on the Mizbeach, are allusions to the tefillah. So you see, there's such depth here. Such depth here. Just to finish off, and I'll stop for questions. V'tehei im kein ahava ha-mischadeshes be'adam v'tfilas arvis misamedes kol ha-layla araboker. The love, the passion, the burning, the yearning that we have inside when we dive in Mariv should really last us through the morning. Ad shehi she'as tefila shachris, until it's time for davening shachris. V'lazer remez ba'omro hi ha'ola al mokta al ha'mezbeah kol ha'layla ha'boker. That's what the Torah alludes to, that the fire has to burn from evening until morning. It's the passion of tefila, of connection with Hashem, which has to go from one tefila to the next tefila. So I'm just going to just review for a moment what we just saw inside, and then I'll stop for questions. I keep promising stopping for questions. I never actually do so, but I will. So the Abarbanel tells us that we can understand the fact that the Torah repeats this phrase, the Eish HaMizbeach Tu Kadbo, that the fire needs to be on the Mizbeach, needs to burn the Mizbeach three times. We can understand it because it's an allusion to the fact that we have three tefilos. Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv. And we go on to explain based on the Kuzari that we need three tefillos a day, because just like we eat three meals a day, and one meal brings us to the next meal, and then we're hungry again, so on and so forth, it should be the same thing with tefillah. That the love, the connection that we establish with the Ribbono Shel Olam at Shachris brings us to Mincha, Mincha brings us to Mariv, Mariv brings us back again to Shachris. And the Abarbanel just deepens the idea by saying that yearning, that tefillah connection, is compared to a fire because it's a burning, it's a passion. So the symbolism is really on the mark. Yes, so is there a question?
Yes, there is a question.
Okay.
So in America, most people daven mincha maariv together. That's
okay.
The general
right.
Minhag.
Right.
And but really, if we want to do this,
right.
Which I think is a really lovely comment, I really like this a lot. We should do mincha gadol like they do in
right,
Israel.
Right. Right. It's a good point. The truth is, from a halachic perspective, where it's best to daven mincha katana, which is mincha later in the day. Why? because we want to parallel what they did in the Beis Hamikdash.
Right.
In the Beis Hamikdash, the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim was offered later. I would just twist your words a little bit and say maybe it's ideal to daven Marv later after Tis HaKavod.
Maybe. Oh, there you go.
Right, so we should daven Shachris in the morning, Mincha in the late afternoon, and then Marv later at night. To exactly, because everyone, all nutritionists know you got to space out your meals. Don't jumble them together.
Yeah.
So if the, listen, this is not halacha, this is drush. But as the drush is a powerful one, yes, it would follow that we should space our tefillos to take us one to the next. Yes, Chana.
Ah, in some chassiduyot, they're starting ma'ariv in the middle of the night.
Okay.
It's 12.
Right.
And they say it's time already to say. But I have another question.
Yes.
If that's the case, then ma'ariv is the most important tefillah, more than shacharit.
Why?
Because according to this, you can see it has to sustain us until morning
for
much a longer time.
Right.
And also,
but we're sleeping.
But you're sleeping, right? not just about, I know about the sleeping, but we also have the way that we count even our days. It always starts from the evening,
right?
Me'erev laboker.
Right, right.
So this is the, I think that this is maybe important, maybe. It's heresy what I'm saying, but...
No, it's not. I understand what you're saying. Listen, this is drush. This is not halakha. This is drush.
No, but
we don't have to necessarily align.
It's a very good thing. Right.
Other times of the
Korban, it's a very nice thing. It's also playing out.
I'm not sure. It's a good question. There definitely is a pecking order. If a person is bringing multiple korbanos, which one goes first? But within that, at what time they should be brought, I'm not sure. Perhaps there is. So I just want to show you the Kliyakar. It's a little bit more halachic, but I thought it was just magnificent. The Kliyakar begins by quoting the Abarbanel, that the three different allusions to fire are allusions to prayer. And then he says it's actually even deeper. Because if you look at the three different times the Torah talks about the fire in the Mizbeach, the language is slightly different in each one of them. And that corresponds to halachic nuances of each of the tefillot. Let me show you what I mean. This is magnificent. So in source number 4, writes the Kliyakar, V'hinini mosif al devarav. I'm adding on now to the words of the Barbanel. I'm going to bring you strong, healthy proofs to what that Barbanel is writing. Initially, the Torah says the fire is beach to kadbam. The fire in the Mizbeach should burn. Correct? Is there any negative commandment over there? No, it just says the fire should burn in the positive. Ein kan shumas hara lelav ki imase. Torah speaks in the positive. Very nice. Uvishniya ne'emar la viase. The second time it appears, there's a negative and a positive. Shne'emar v'ha'ish ha'mizbeach tu kadbo. The fire has to burn. Lo tichbe. You cannot extinguish it. Very nice. So that's number 2. Tu kadbo ase. It must burn in the positive. Lo tichbe. Lo tase. In the third time it appears, which is Pasuk Vav, we have again the same idea. There's the negative, lo tichbe. We've got the positive, eish tamid, tukam is beach. And then he writes, bo inyan his, it also adds in that word, tamid, continuously, shne'emar, eish tamid, tukam is beach, lo tichbe. The word tamid, continuously. That word appears for the first time in Pasuk Vav. This is not written for some textual enhancement. It's written because there is a great depth to the matter. So turning the page. This is so beautiful. We know that halachically speaking, Mariv is permissible. Nowadays it's obligatory for men, but fundamentally Mariv was permissible. It's not as obligatory as the other tefillos. It's not an obligation. Therefore, the Torah doesn't speak that in the negative, that you can't do this. Even the positive is not an explicit, you must. There's no commandment about the fire. That the fire should burn. It's not commanded, you must burn the fire. It's almost taking a step back. The fire should burn. We don't have a commandment. You must light a fire. It's a very soft language. That corresponds to Maariv, because we don't have to daven Maariv. There's no Isser involved if we don't daven Maariv. So the first allusion to fire in Parshas Tzav is a soft one. The fire will burn. There's no positive, explicit commandment. There's certainly no negative commandment. It's a very soft reference. That alludes to Maariv, which we're not commanded to daven. There's certainly no Isser involved if a person doesn't daven. Very good. V'tfilas shachris chova. We know that shachris is an obligation. V'asr levatzla. We're not allowed to forego davening shachris. Al kein hosif lav delo sichbe. That's why in the second time where the Torah talks about burning a fire, we have an additional lo sase. Don't extinguish. Don't give up on the opportunity to daven shachris. V'tfilas hamincha nosaf alav delo sichbe. Amar ish tamid. When it comes to mincha, we have another word, tamid. Continuously, you have to make a point to daven mincha. Hamora al hasmidus shelo yivatel ayedeshem esek ba'olam. To teach us that we have to make a point to daven mincha, that our other business affairs can't come in the way of davening mincha. Kidemasik v'meseches brachos amra bichalbo. Rabbi Chalbo tells us in Gemara Brachos, La'olam yizahir adam betfilas hamincha. A person has to be very careful to daven mincha. Shekin Eliyahu lo ne'ene ki'im betfilas hamincha. Because Eliyahu was only answered at mincha time. So we have three different psukim, which allude to our three different tfilos, but says the clear card deeper. Within those three different references, we have slight nuances, which hints even further to the specific tefillah that's alluded to in the reference. So just looking back in Pasuk Beis, where the Torah talks about the fire, kol ha-laylat ha-boker, which is on the mizbeach from evening until morning, which means the nighttime, in that alluding to Maariv, Beis ha-mizbeach tukabo, a very soft reference, the fire burns, because there's no obligation to daven Maariv. When it comes to shachris, there already we have a law. Ve'eshem is back to kabo lo tichve. Don't let it burn out. Don't let the opportunity of daven shachris run out. You have to daven shachris. And the third reference in pasuk vav ish tamid. There's an extra word for emphasis. You have to continuously burn the fire. You have to make it a point to daven mincha. It's the hardest one to daven. You're in the middle of your day. It's not so easy to stop what you're doing to daven. But that's why the Torah adds in the word tamid specifically when it's alluding to tefilas mincha. Isn't that magnificent? This is not dry at all. This is so rich. You just have to know where to look. Yes?
I still, it still does not spread out in my mind why they put a Maariv in a lower level.
Well, because
I
not...
a little bit...
So it's a little too complicated for this year right now. Mm-hmm. All I tell you is that Shachris and Mincha correspond to Korbanos. Bona fide Korbanos. Korban Tamid Shal Shachar, Korban Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim. Maariv refers to the burning of the fats and limbs that were left over. It's not as a strong connection. It doesn't refer to a specific korban. So therefore, Maariv is reshus, is only permissible, not obligatory, although it's evolved now to an obligation. But since originally it was never pegged to a korban, it never took on quite as much of an oomph. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
I want to add to her question, because if we look at the Shema, it's Beshochbecha or Bekumecha.
Right.
It's a Shema Lamita is important.
Okay. But Ushach B'chav Kumecha is not a reference to Kriyat Shema Lamita. It's a reference to Kriyat Shema that we say at night.
It specifies the beginning of the day and the end of the day.
Okay,
so I'm just adding to her.
Okay, I'll take that. All right, so let's move on. A beautiful Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar in source number 5 takes us a bit of a different direction. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar is focusing on the clothing that the Kohen wears. So if you look in Pasuk Gimel, if you turn back for a moment, Torah tells us, V'lavash ha-Kohen nido vad, u'michnesei bad, yilbash al bisara, which means the Kohen shall don his fitted linen tunic, and he shall don linen breeches on his flesh. Thank you, Art School. Basically, the Torah talks about the Kohen wearing a special jacket, special shirt, and pants, linen pants, that he would wear when he was removing the ashes, right? Because what happened was, every morning, after the fire concluded from the previous evening, the Kohen would remove all the ashes and they would light a new fire. So the word tamid actually doesn't mean continuously. The word tamid means different things in different contexts. Over here it means almost continuously, but it actually went out in the morning, right before the morning, and the Kohen would light it one more time every morning. So he would clean it off from the previous night's ashes. That's called the Trumas Hadashin, removing the ashes, and then they would light it again. So Rabbi Nebuchaya, in source number 5, teaches us the lessons we can learn from the fact that the Kohen wore very simple clothing when he was removing the ashes from the Mizbeach. So in source number 5, V'lavash HaKohen Midova, the Kohen would wear this linen tunic. So first of all, Rabbi Nebuchaya points out, even though the Torah only talks about the shirt and the clothing, when the Kohen would do this avoda, he would actually be fully dressed. We know the Kohen had 4 garments there to wear. Kohen Gadol would wear 8. So even though the Torah only speaks of 2, the shirt and the pants, he had to be fully decked out. So Rabbi Nebuchaya writes, Hodi'inu Bekan, the Torah teaches us over here, Sha'af haramas hadeshen, even removing the ashes, Shehi avoda kala, it's a simple light avoda, simple service in the Mishkan, Mizbeach, right? Tzricha big dekuna, but the Kohen still need to be fully clothed for this service. Uma shehizkir eila hashnayim bilvad, Ketonas and Mechnasayim, the reason Torah only talks about the ketonas, the tunic, and the pants, who adin the shar begotin, the truth is it's all the clothing the Kohen would have to be wearing. Ki kevan shehodienu, sharama sadesh and tzricha begotin, once the Torah tells us that when the Kohen removes the ashes, he's got to be properly dressed, lamanu, we learn bevadai shetzricha arba begotin bekohen hedot, veshom bekohen kohen gadol. If the Torah is telling us the Kohen needs to be dressed, so even though it only references 2, he's got to be wearing all 4 big day kuna. Fine. V'lamanu mizeh. So here comes the depth. Source number 5, paragraph 2. V'lamanu mizeh. Ki gam b'mitzos haramas hadashen, shehi avoda kala. Even when it comes to this simple service of removing the ashes, tziva kadosh baruch hu sheyishader ba hakohen lefanav. What is hader ba? The kohen should be, what's hadar? Beautiful. The kohen still needs to be fully dressed when he's doing this simple service of removing the ashes from the event. Exactly. Sheyalbish big day kahuna, uvahem yari mesadashen. That the Kohen needs to be fully dressed for this simple service. One that might not be so attractive, right? One would imagine there are more glamorous parts of the avoda in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, but it doesn't make a difference. In Judaism, it's not all about the glitz and the glamour and who's got to be who gets to be in front of the room when everyone's watching. Sometimes the most meaningful thing, or the equally as meaningful thing, is done in the morning, in privacy, when no one else is in the building. The Kohen needs to be equally as dressed up, because it's equally as important. And then Rabbi Nebuchaya goes on to explain the bolded words in Source 5, Paragraph 2. V'chol zeh ha'ara v'derech chayim. This is an insight for the way of life. Any Kohen or any Jew who's involved in the Korban process, but it's broader than that. Or one who's involved in any of the mitzvos of the Torah, person has to make themselves beautiful for Hashem, whatever mitzvah they're involved with. You have to make yourself beautiful. You know, you can't think, well, this is a silly mitzvah, this is a non-meaningful mitzvah. No, everything's meaningful to the Ribono Shel Olam, right? The Mishnah Avos tells us, Yizayar b'mitzvah kala shebechamura. We have to be equally as careful, equally as excited about the lighter, easier mitzvos as we would with the heavier mitzvos. Over here, Rabbi Nebuchaya seems to tell us that the Hidur, the beauty that's referred to, is not necessarily in terms of our clothing, but it's in terms of our approach, our mindset. Sheyashpil kavod atzmo lekavod Hashem Yisbarach. We have to humble ourselves in front of Hashem, whatever we're doing. Afilu be'avoda kala shebem. Even with the simple services, we still need to humble ourselves. David HaMelech, Olav HaShalom, Omar, we know in Pasuk and Tehillim, Ura Kivodi. David HaMelech says, awaken my honor. Ura HaNeva V'chinor HaIr HaShachar, I'm going to wake up in the morning. Why does David need to awaken his honor? It sounds like Rabbi Nebuchaya is explaining, David saying, wake up, honor, and get out of here. Meaning, I don't need you anymore. when it comes to my service of Hashem, you're not invited. It's not about my kavod. It's about Hashem. Urak kavodi, ein kavodcha, chashuv kum itzel kavod koni. My kavod is worth nothing in comparison, in contrast to the kavod of the Ribbono Shel Olam. B'ksiv, a famous incident that happened with David HaMelech when he was bringing back the Aaron from the home of Obed HaEdomi, that David danced. He got so excited about bringing back the Aaron. The fact that he was the king and maybe should be acting with a certain refinement didn't stop him. V'David mechaker b'chol eiz lefnei Hashem. And we know that Michal bat Shaul gets down on David. Says, David, how can a king act this way?
Yeah.
And David doesn't stop. V'ksiv v'niklesi od mizos isti shafal b'nai. I would bemean myself even more in front of you, Michal. I don't care. If it's Kavod Hashem, it's Kavod Hashem. So we learn from David that a person has to take that excitement, that passion for all mitzvos, and you have to throw your kavod out the window. What does it mean to be properly dressed to serve Hashem? It does refer to the physical clothing, but on a deeper level, it refers to your approach, your mindset. To be dressed means to throw out your kavod and only have God's honor in mind. That's the proper approach that a person needs to have with Torah and mitzvos. Just give me one more minute. I want to do one more paragraph. V'yadua midera chachmas ha-hegyon. Ki ha-adam eina nikra eved ad she'elo adon. A person can't be called a servant until they have a master. V'ein shem ha-adon ro'oi elo lemi she'esh lo eved. Conversely, you can't be a master unless you have a servant. Which, by the way, is the significance of Rosh Hashanah. We coronate Hashem. Why does Hashem need our coronation? The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need anything. On some level, because we say, Ein melech b'lo am. Right? There can't be a king without a people. So we have a role in coronating Hashem. Because if there wouldn't be a people, Hashem wouldn't be considered the king. So it's the same concept over here. V'hine heim shnei shemos. You can't have one without the other. There needs to be a master and a servant, but both of them are needed to create that relationship. And since man is a servant to Hashem, and is obligated to worship Him, if we want to serve Hashem, we need to acquire the characteristic traits of a servant. That is humility and lowering ourselves in front of Hashem. When we worship Hashem, we don't do so with any sense of authority. Because the truth is that that's a disgrace to the master. When we try to act like the master, it's a disgrace to the master. We have to act only with humility. Yes, was there a question?
What it would be, I can understand differently. Awaken my honor, so I'll be honorable enough to make music for you.
Maybe, I don't think that's... But you see from the Rabbeinu Bachai, he doesn't explain it. He says, Ein kvodcha chashuv klom etzel kvod koni.
But Uha is...
Right, the truth is, the Rabbeinu Chai don't fully understand also, because it really should be, if this is Rabbeinu Chai like giving words to David HaMelech, it should be but it really should be Ein Kvodi Chashuv Klum Etzel Kvod Koni.
It's the same.
Right.
I take it literally.
Right, okay, that's a fair point. But
make me honorable enough to be.
Right. They're very good. So I want to finish this paragraph. Amar Shlomo Olav HaMelech, Shabbat Shlomo Olav HaShalom, Al Tis Hader Lifnei Melech, don't beautify yourself in front of a king. If you're not allowed to show arrogance in front of a king of flesh and blood, because it's not respectful, so how much more so we can't show arrogance in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because God is adorned with arrogance, not in a negative way, but in the sense that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the source of everything. A person who wears the garments of the king, it's an embarrassment to the king, it's a disgrace to the king. So if Hashem is defined by arrogance in the sense that He is the source of everything, He is the owner of everything, so it's a p'chisas kavod ha-melech. It disgraces the honor of the king when we wear his clothing. God is the one in control. We don't act as if we're in control. Certainly not in our service of Hashem. So here comes Rabbeinu Bechaya, just looping it all together. Umipnei zeh. HaKohen HaOved HaMiyucha LaAvodas HaMikdash, the Kohen who was commanded to work in a Mikdash, Tziva lo HaKasav SheYarim Es HaDashe B'chol Yom SheYavoda Kala SheBeAvodos Kedei SheYashpil VeYichanel LeFanav HaShem Yisbarach. It sounds like Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying that the Kohen starts off the day with a very lowly Avoda, a very lowly service, to remind the Kohen that you are the Evan, not the Adam. You start by sweeping the floors, because it's a way of aligning the perspective of the Kohanim that, don't forget, you're just janitors here, right? You guys are the servants, you're not the master. And that perspective was essential to be had for the rest of the day, because we are the Eved and the Rebbe Shalom is the Adon. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya, I would say, just transitions from one thought to the next. He first starts by focusing on the clothing, that the Kohen needs to be fully dressed even when he's doing this very light avoda, because we're always in front of Hashem. A person has to take every mitzvah with importance, has to think of every mitzvah as being extremely important, extremely valuable. That's why we dress up for even a light avoda. And he says that can explain how we are to perceive, how we are to interact with all mitzvahs. We are to dress up. And he says that the dressing up doesn't necessarily mean on a physical level, it could also mean on an emotional level. To be dressed up in front of Hashem means to have a perspective of humility. Because we can't come dressed in arrogance. That's God's garb, not our garb. And then he finishes off by saying that that might also explain why the Truma Sadesh, removing the ashes, is the first avoda of the day. It's a lowly avoda, but it's a way to remind the Kohen, you're the servant, not the master. Yes, question.
I just want to, the beginning you started with the question, who do you address this?
Right.
Is it, because you questioned the word lemor.
Correct.
Is it to the Levim, to the rest of the Israel?
Correct.
Here in the end, it's only to the Kohanim, only Shevet Levim.
Okay, so they're different dimensions, different levels. But you see Rabbeinu Bechaya deepens it. No, because look what he says. Going back to paragraph 2. V'chol zeh ha'ara v'derech chayim l'chol mishim eskari l'akosh baruch u'b'achas me'avodos o mishim et asik v'achas me'mitzos eshal Torah. Rabbeinu Bechaya says the lessons we can learn here, this is 5, paragraph 2. The lessons we can learn here are valuable not just for those involved in korbanos, but oshamit asik be'achat mitzvos eshal Torah. Anyone who's involved in any of the mitzvos of the Torah. So the lessons, the depth, is applicable to everybody. The Torah might be addressing one specific segment of the population, but it doesn't mean we can't learn from the commandments that Hashem is telling that segment. So just to summarize, I hope I did a decent job of showing you that Parsha Sav is not quite as dry as people perceive it to be. We started with the Or HaChaim, which focused on the word lemor in Pasuk Beis. Why is that needed? We already know that Moshe is going to speak to everybody from Pasuk Aleph. We know that the Kohanim are going to pass this down from generation to generation from the word Sav. What's added by the word lemor? It must be that there's so much depth and wisdom to the written word of the Torah. It's a chazon sasum, it's a closed vision. And Moshe was commanded, make sure Aaron understands all of the depth, all of the multiple layers that can be understood from the text. That's the Or HaChaim. Rabbi Arbanel says, if you want to understand why the phrase talking about fire in the Mizrach is repeated 3 times, you have to know the Gemara in Brachos. Because these psukim serve as the basis for the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says that our tfilos correspond to the korbanos. And each of those fires is an allusion to one of the korbanos. And the Kliyakar deepened even further by saying, if you look at the psukim, they are phrased differently depending on which tvila. Marv is a very bland, soft reference. Shachris already has a low saseh, and mincha, you have the word tamid, because it's very difficult to daven mincha, to stop your day and daven, but that's the critical avoda of tfilas mincha. Just wanted to review. Also, we saw from the Kuzari that we have to think about our prayer schedule, think the same way we think of our nutritional schedule. We have one meal, carries us to the next. That's the way, the impact that the tefillah should have as well, building up to this point of consistency, where we ultimately feel consistently close to the Ribono Shel Olam, because we are just going from one tefillah to next. Each one is so impactful, it carries us the whole day. And we finish with their beautiful insights of Rabbeinu Bachaya, what we can learn from the clothing of the Kohanim who are removing the ashes, and specifically why that avoda starts the morning. It's a way of aligning the Kohen's perspective to appreciate the Kohen, and really everybody, we are all avadim, and the Ribono Shel Olam is the true Adon. Okay, Yashar Koach, Chag Purim Sameach.